So Baruch Hashem, we're back to our normal routine. Baruch Hashem, as I told you 2 weeks ago, last week, my oldest Einikel got married and we had a beautiful simcha. And I say that if it is a decree, im nigzar aleinu levatel min ha-Torah, it should only be for simchas. And Baruch Hashem, we are back to our normal routine of shiurim b'bote kneisius and b'bote medrushes. We should always share simchas, and we should always share simchas ha-Torah. This week's parsha, Parshas Chukas, starts off with Tumas Meis. And the topic we will be discussing today is a very, very critical halachic issue, which is very relevant, and very many Kohanim are troubled by this issue, and we will discuss the basics today. Tumas Kohanim, especially in hospitals, when there are so many Kohanim amongst us who either accompanying their wives when they come to give birth to babies, or bikacholim, or when they themselves need some medical procedures, which are not life-saving procedures. So we're not dealing with pikuach nefesh. So what would be the heter for a kohen to walk into a hospital today? Because all major hospitals today, usually we're dealing with huge buildings, and statistically, people pass away in hospitals. Hospital is not a very pleasant place. For some it is, but for the few, not for the many. And so, especially hospitals in Israel, when the vast majority are Jewish, so kivrei akum eino mitamim ba'oyel. That's a gemon yevomistav samach aleph. And we're dealing with tumas oil. But in Israel, when the majority of patients are Jewish, and emeses matama ba'oyel, so to what degree could we find leniency for a kohen to come into a hospital? So first of all, before we actually start today's shir, I would like to dedicate the shir le'ilui nishmosoi of the shver of one of my closest and dearest friends. So this week, Rosh Chodesh Tammuz is the yahrzeit of Reb Chaim Abba ben Reb Yosef Yehuda. He should be a meretz yosef for the wonderful Orlinsky family in Teaneck, New Jersey, and Yenuach B'Sholom HaMishkovoi, and the entire family should only know Simchas and Nachas. So this week's Pasha, as I said, starts off with Tumas Meis, Tumas Maga, Tumas Masa, Tumas Oil. And we will be dealing with a very clear halachic discussion regarding Kohanim that need to visit a hospital. So the bigger the hospital, the more chance you have to encounter Tumas Meis. So in Shari Tzedek, the hospital which I am very closely associated, statistically, there are about four Petiris, four deceased people every day. And statistically, the Meis is in the hospital for anywhere between half hour and an hour, half hour, 45 minutes, before the body is taken out of the building. So, which means that 2 hours, 2.5 hours throughout the Meis Leis, there probably is Tumas Meis. But there is a sign outside, and usually when there is a nifter in the hospital, there is a sign which is in Azorah L'Koyanim. So the question would be, could a kohen walk into the hospital for an extended stay when there was no sign when he went into the hospital? So to what extent does he have to be choshesh that maybe somebody might pass away while he is in the hospital? But the problems of Tumas Kohanim are not only the deceased, lo aleinu, but also amputations and nefolim. And there are no signs regarding nefolim and amputations. So it really is a problem coming into a major hospital today. Hospitals usually have the open door policy. I spent some time in a hospital in America, and I did not see that there. Most of the doors there are closed, but here there is an open door policy because the directors of hospitals feels it's more friendly when doors are open. The doors to the rooms are open, the doors to the machlakot are open most of the day, and that exacerbates the problem because tumah spreads. by any open door or open window, from a room to the other, into the corridor, from the corridor into the other rooms. And Thomas Mace travels at the speed of light, not the speed of sound. It's instantaneous. And therefore, that is the crux of the problem. So, the opinion of the Ravid, and this Ravid is a big controversy, a big halachic controversy. The Ravid appears in two different sources in the Sugas al Rambam. Hilchas Naziris Perek Halochetes Vov and Hilchas Ovel Perek Gimel Halochet Zayin. The Ravid says that a person that was already exposed to Tumas Meis, a Kohen that was exposed to Tumas Meis, there is no more issa to expose himself once again to Tumas Meis because he's Tomei anyway. So according to the Ravid today, Tumas Meis L'Kohen would be irrelevant because when a baby is born in the hospital, and he usually spends a few days in the hospital, so we could assume that in those few days he was exposed to Tumas Meis. So he is already Tumas. And even if he went to the mikveh, that won't do him any good because as long as we don't have Eifer Porov, the Porah Adumah, there is no way to purify yourself from Tumas Meis. So since that baby was born till the end of his days, according to the Ravid L'Chayda, there is no Issur. And the Mishnah L'Melech in Hilchas Avel Perek Gimel argues that the Ravid is a Das Yochid. But that definitely is not the case. Obviously, the Mishnah L'Melech wasn't aware that there are very substantial Rishonim, of the great Rishonim that have the same opinion as the Ravid. The Rosh Halochas Ketanas Dinei Tumah Simen Vav says that the Rabbeinu Tam is of the same opinion of the Ravid, and the Rabbeinu Tam was Rosh V'Rishon LeBaalei HaTosfos. The Halachas Gedoyres, quoted by Shilta Gebora Mararif, says the same. Once a Kohen is Tome Tumas Meis, as long as he is not Oile Mitimosoi, there would be no additional issue to expose himself once again to Tumas Meis. The Lecha Mishnah and Lechas Naziris quotes Rashi Masechet Nozir is the same. So the Mishnah Melech definitely isn't right when he argues that the Ravid is a Das Yochid. It still is a minority opinion. It still goes against the Rambam and more significantly against the Shulchan Aruch. But it is an opinion. And there's a major discussion between the Achroinim whether we could be Mitzarev the Ravid to Esvek Sveket to look for room for leniency. So the Dogal Mervova is the goes of the Noide Biyuda and Shulchan Aruch in Yoreh Deyasim and Shinayim Beis. Toich Kedei Debo, he makes a psak and he retracts. So B'tchilas Advorim, the Dogal Mervova writes, the Ravid, we could be Mitzarev to a Svek Sveke. V'kach Nahagu, writes the Dogal Mervova, to be Mitzarev the Ravid, if we have any other suffix, then we could judge and we could argue that it's a Svek Sveke, because according to the Ravid, once a Kohen is Tumah, there would be no additional Isser to be Metama Atzmai once again. And then the Dogal Mavova writes, all that Ravid means to say is that there is no Malkus, but there definitely is an Isser Rabbonin, and maybe even an Isser Dioraisa. And the Chasam Sofer has a very interesting Tshuva, Yoreh Deyasim and Shin Lamed Vov, and Tshuva's Chasam Sofer. And the Chasam Sofer tells the story that he accompanied his great Rebbe Reb Nosson Adler. When Reb Nosson Adler was in Prague and he went to visit the Noide Biyuda, and this was the discussion of those two great Gedolim. The Noide Biyuda argued, according to the Ravid, there would be no Isser of Tumas Kohen in Bizman Hazeh. And Reb Nosson Adler argued, no, the Ravid only refers to Malkus, but it's an Isser Dioraisa, even though it is not clear. If there would be an Issa D'Oraisa, why wouldn't there be Malkus? But the Chasam Sofer says that Reb Nosson Adler caused the Noide Biyuda to retract and to regret his previous psak. And in Dogal Mevava we find the Mishnah Rishoyna and the Mishnah Achroyna as well. However, many great Achroinim learned the Ravid Kipshutoi, and that definitely seems to be the case of Shittas Rabbeinu Tam and the other Rishonim that I quoted. So the Mishnah L'Melech, even though he doesn't paskin in accordance to the Ravid, because in his opinion the Ravid is a Das Yochid, but his understanding of the Ravid is there would be no Isser at all. And that is also very clear in Shuvah Sebekiva Eger, Tinyona Simen Yudches. So according to many achronim, we could be mitzaref shittas haravid if we have additional sveikas to reach a conclusion that it would be a svek sveika and svek sveika lekula even by an isur diuraisa. So as I explained, the ravid is not a das yochid. And in klolei ha'erua, simen reish mem beis, one of the klolim is, b'shas adchak, if we're dealing with an isur derabanan, one could rely on a das yochid. So in our quest for leniency, after we learn the shittas haravid, we need to look for either additional sveikas or an assumption that we're dealing with a derabanan and not a diurais. What else could come into account? The Shachan Simen Shinayim Beis writes that Tumas Oyel Min HaTorah is only Ba'oyel HaMeis, when the Kohen and the Meis share the same domain, under the same roof. But the din that a poiseach tefach is mavir tuma from one room to the other, a window or a door, that is only a din derabonan and not a din diuraisa. That is the Shach's opinion in Shein Ayin Beis. And there is a tshuva in Pnei Yehoshua. The Pnei Yehoshua alludes to the tshuva in Sukkah Daf Chavav, but we don't have Shalas Tshuvas Pnei Yehoshua. Actually, we do have Shalas Tshuvas Pnei Yehoshua, but it's not from the Pnei Yehoshua. So the famous Pnei Yehoshua on Shas, one of the greatest of the Achronim, his grandfather was the Shalas Tshuvas Pnei Yehoshua. He also wrote a Sefer al Shas, and that Sefer is called Megine Shloima. Why Megine Shloima? To us, it might seem a bit strange, but the Megine Shloima writes in the introduction to a Sefer that he's an enikel of Rashi, and therefore he sticks with Rashi. And he wrote a Sefer Megine Shlomo. Rashi was Reb Shlomo Yitzchaki, and he defends Rashi because he's his descendant, he's an enikel. So he wrote a Sefer to be miyash of all the kashas of Tosfos and Rashi. An interesting concept of protection. He's an enikel of Rashi, so he wants to stick with Rashi and stand up for him. So that is the Megine Shloim. He was one of the great poskim in his generation, and he wrote the Shalas Tshuvas Pnei Yehoshua. But the tshuva I am quoting is from the second Pnei Yehoshua, his enikel, the famous Pnei Yehoshua al HaShas. We do not have tshuvas from Pnei Yehoshua number two, or maybe number one. But in the Sefer Hu Eshkol, with Nachal Eshkol, who was a rov in Frankfurt, the Main, many years after the Pnei Yehoshua, in his Sefer at the end of the Nachal Eshkol, a Sefer Hu Eshkol, he printed a tshuva, Tachas Yodoi, from the Pnei Yehoshua. And the Pnei Yehoshua paskins in accordance to the Shach, that Tumah she'oiver mamukam lamukam al yedei poseach tefach is only midrabbanan. And the Shach in that same Sif Kotn, in that same paragraph, writes, Soif Tumah lutzeis is definitely midrabbanan. So Masechet Ohalos, there is an additional concept. If a mace is in a room and the door is closed, locked, we still say that the tumah passes through that door. Because if that is the only door, and it is predestined that the mace will go out of the room through that door is considered as if open, and tumah will pass through that door even if it is closed. And that is the concept that Chazal define as soif tumah lotzeis. If there are different doors in the room and we have no inkling, no idea which door we might go out, then we do not say soif tumah lotzeis. But if there is only one way out, even though the door is closed, it is considered as if open and tumah will pass through that door. So the Shach writes two arguments. Even if the door would be open, it still would be a tumah derabanan. If the door is closed, sof tumah lotzeis, definitely is midrabanan. And the Pnei Yehoshua supports the Shach on both counts. However, the Mugen Avraham is Chaylak al Shach twice in Hilchos Shabbos, Shin Yud Aleph and Shin Mem Gimel. Mugen Avraham quoting the Shach on Yerodeim and rejecting the Shach. And most of the Achroinim rejected the Shach. And the Avnei Nezer has a most interesting expression. He writes, "Mekol Yoma Yehuisi Mitztayer al Divrei Hashach, Eich, the greatest of the Gedolim could say such a dover bottle." Well, you got to be an Avnei Nezer to dare to say what the Shach writes is such a dover bottle. And I was so gratified, writes the Avnei Nezer, when I saw that the Chochmas Sodom and Klal Kuf Nun Tes and Yerodeya, the Sefer of the Chayulim and Yerodeya, as you probably know, is Chochmas Sodom. Chochmas Sodom, Klal Kuf Nun Tes writes that the Kavona of the Shach is only regarding Soif Tumalutzeis. So if he was so baffled by the Shach, I don't know how he was comforted by the Chochmas Sodom, because the Shach clearly makes two different and distinct arguments. Tumah she'oyve mecheder lecheder al yedei poseach tefach is midrabbanan, and sof tumah lutzeis is midrabbanan. And there are two different halachas. So when the Chochmas Sodom says that the Iker Kavonas Shach is only the second argument, well, after all, the Shach makes two different arguments. So anyway, this is one of those rare cases. Yes, it's a Shach, and the Pnei Yeshua paskins in accordance to the Shach. But most of the Achroinim write that the Shach is a Teime Gedoyle. So first and foremost is the Mugen Avraham. But after the Mugen Avraham, the Chsam Soifah Shin Lametes, the Chochmas Sodom Kuf Nuntes, the Avnei Nezer, as I quoted, most of the Achroinim reject argument number one. But argument number two of the Shach definitely carries far more water. And Soif Tumel, it says, most of the Achroinim agree with the Shach, we are dealing with a Tumel de Rabbonim. So, if we put together the Ravid with the Shach, most of the time, when an Iftar is in a room, the door is closed. Out of respect for the family, the door is closed to that room. And when we're dealing with Nefalim and amputations, pathology, usually the door is closed. So when the door opens, Tumah gets out, but that is only for a moment till the door is closed. Soif Tumah Letzeis is midrabbanan. So if we're mitzad of the Ravid to a Suffolk, then it would be a Sveika derabbanan and not a Sveika diuraisa. If we accept the ruling of the Pnei Yeshua that paskins in accordance to the Shach on account number one, it would be a Trei derabbanan. But even if we say the Chsam Sofer and the Chochmas Sodom and the Mugen Avraham are right against the Shach, and the Shach is a Teime, because there seem to be Rayis, I don't want to go into the details of Dinei Tumah V'Tahara Masechtas Olos, but most of the Achronim reject Shach number one, and they adopt Shach number two regarding Soif Tumah Letzeis, then there is far more room for leniency. That is basically what we're dealing with. Now, an additional argument would be, if it's a Suffolk, then it's a Suffolk Tumah B'Shus HaRabim, because the concepts of the Shus HaRabim and the Shus HaYochid regarding Suffolk Tumah B'Shus HaRabim Tohoyo, Suffolk Tumah B'Shus HaYochid Tomei, have nothing to do with the ideas of the Shus HaRabim and the Shus HaYochid Beis Shabbos. Shabbos makes no difference how many people are out there. If there are mechitzes, it's a reshus ha-yochid. But regarding Tumah V'Tahara, doesn't depend on mechitzes. It depends, is it a public domain or a private domain? And a hospital would be a public domain, because there are always many people in the hospital, people walking in and walking out. Especially when you're not going into the machlakot, but rooms where patients are and where families come to visit. So if it is a suffolk, would we say suffolk tumah b'shus harabim sveiker torah, and there would be no issur for koyanim? Some achroinim maintain, and this is a major discussion, some achroinim maintain, sofek tuma bishus arabim, sveikei tor, sofek tuma bishus ayochet sveikei tomei, is only when we're dealing with dinei tuma v'tahara. But when we're dealing with the issur of tumas koyanim, that is a sveikei di isura. That has nothing to do with the rule, sofek tuma bishus arabim, sveikei tor. It is only when a person passed in a place which there is a sofek tuma. Was he nitma or was he not nitma? We're dealing with a Yisroel, not a Kohen. Is he tuma or tor? It is there that Chazal decree and say, if it's a shusarabim sveikei tor, if it's a shusayochet sveikei tomei. But when we're dealing with the heter for a Kohen, is he permitted or prohibited to going into a place where there's a sofek tuma? That is defined as a sveikei d'oraisa and a sveikei d'oraisa lechumra. So the rules that b'rishus harabim sveikei tor, b'rishus harabim sveikei tuma do not apply. That is the opinion of the Noid B'Yuda in Tzlach and some other achroinim. In many tshuvas that I wrote on this sugya, I maintain aloha lamaisa. No, even when we deal with Tumas Koyanim, it is a Sveike Diuraisa. But first we must decide, is this a Mokum Tumah or it's not a Mokum Tumah? And if the basic rules of Tumah V'Tahara are Sofek Tumah V'Shus Arabim Sveikei Toyer, then there would be no prohibition for a Kohen going into that place. However, that is only if we define a certain space as a sofek tuma. And once again, if it's a major hospital, most of the day they probably would be deceased. If it's not a huge hospital, we could assume that most of the day there aren't mason, and a Kohen would not be exposing himself to Tumas Meis. However, if he plans to be many hours or days in the hospital, then the chances are that he is exposing himself to Tumas Meis. Churas Shai was the Av Beis Din in Siget 150 years ago. Very choshev a sefer. And in Churas Shai, Chelek Aleph Siman Tov Kuf Nun Tes, he deals with this very same question, could a Kohen visit the hospital? Now, hospitals in Chutz Laretz, especially many years ago, the vast majority of patients were goyim. And there weren't huge institutions in which hundreds and hundreds of patients were there together. There were small local units, so the problem was a far lesser problem than it is today. But the arguments are interesting. So Churas Shai, Chelek Aleph Siman Tov Kuf Nun Tes, he deals with the question, could a Kohen visit a family member or a friend in a hospital? And he writes two svaros for leniency. One, Cheskes Chai. So we would assume that nobody died, nobody's dead in there, because every person has a Cheskes Chai. And the basic source of Cheskes Chai is in Gittin Dav Chof Ches. Eishes Kohen, that left her husband at home, or her husband, the Kohen, traveled to Medina Sayyam, she could eat truma, because we assume that he's still alive. We haven't heard from him. He didn't send an SMS. He sent no emails. We haven't heard from him, but we assume he's alive because a person has a cheskes chai. Until he proves differently, we assume that he is alive. So the Churas Shai writes, cheskes chai. And he also makes an interesting argument based on Hilchas Toiloim. What does Hilchas Toiloim have to do with Hilchas Tumas Meis? So on Hilchas Toiloim, Simen Pei Dalet, Tirozov, Sifkot Niud Zayin, the Taz brings the Marshal. If we have a dish and we find three flies in the dish, then we just throw out the flies. And we don't say, if there are three, there are probably many more. So the Marshal differentiates between two different types of bugs. If it's bugs that infest fruits or vegetables, and they grow in the fruit or vegetable, then Cheskas Gimel Pa'omim is valid. Because if there are three, that means this fruit was infested. But if we're dealing with flies, flies come from the outside and not. So even if we find three flies, why would we assume that there are more? There happened to be three flies that fell into the soup, but why would you assume there are more? So the Taz Paskins, if it's me'al me'ka'osi, if these are insects like flies that just fall into a dish from outside, then the fact that we find three doesn't necessitate we should be choshish, there are more. So the Churashai, what a strange svara, he writes, well, mason aren't bred in a hospital. They just happen to die there. And therefore, it's like flies that come from the outside. There would be no chazaka. And I think both svaras are svaras rechoikes b'yosa. They don't really stick and don't really make sense in our discussion. First of all, cheskas chai. Would cheskas chai mean that people don't die? Obviously, at some stage they do. Cheskas chai is relevant when you're dealing with an individual. We know that he was alive when he left us. We would like to know whether he's still alive. So Chazoka says, yes, that's the din of Chazoka de Mekora. If we know that a girl wasn't married and there's a suffix in the Kiddushin, we say Cheskas Pnuya. That is the basic concept of Chazoka de Mekora. But would Cheskas Pnuya say there are no married women in this town? Of course there are married women in this town, and that has nothing to do with Cheskas Pnuya. So in the same way, Cheskas Chai cannot say there are no deceased people in this hospital. Cheskas Chai, like Cheskas Pnuya, like any other Chazukah de Mekora, is relevant when we're dealing with an individual person or an individual thing or individual phenomena or whatever it is. But Cheskas Pnuya doesn't say nobody got married. Cheskas Chai doesn't say nobody passed away. And therefore, Cheskas Chai is not relevant to our question. We're not dealing with any individuals. Are they still alive or not? We're dealing with a hospital. Are there niftorim in this hospital or not? And for the same reason, I don't think the question here is Cheskas Gimel Pa'omim. If the question would be, yes, three people passed away today, does that mean we have to be choshish that many more will pass away? No. It has nothing to do with the number three. Cheskes Gimel Pa'omim is irrelevant when we're dealing with natural phenomena. And in my Sefer on Bava Basra and in different sources in my Svarim, I defined what Cheskes Gimel Pa'omim is all about. Some things just happen at random, what we call coincidence. So if a shor was mazik, if a shor hurt another animal once, we say that was just by chance. But if he did it three times, we decide this is a dangerous animal. So as long as any phenomena happens once or twice, we do not conclude that this is the nature of things. It might be coincidental. But when any phenomena happens three times, then we assume these three times are not coincidental. They have something in common. Obviously, this is the nature of things. And we find more than 10 different sugyas in Shas which are based on this same idea. Tinok shemeso echov machmas mila. A baby after circumcision passed away. A younger brother was born. We hope that what happened with baby number one will not happen with baby number two. And there is no reason to be choshish it will happen. But if two children passed away, then we are careful with child number three. So, bedina nefoshes, tre zimna hava chazoka. Bedina momenes, tlat zimna. That's the Machlokes Rebbe and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. So we find this concept by Shor Nagach. That is the only source which is in the Torah. And in Mishnah we find it, Tinek Shemei Sechem Achsamila, Katlanis, and many different sugyas. The source of this sugya is in Yevamos, Daf Samech Beis. And the same is in Dinei Teloim. If we find three bugs, we say they didn't just happen to be there. Obviously, this dish is infested. So the Rishal argues it depends whether there is any room to assume that this is common phenomena. This is the nature of things. But if a mosquito just fell into the dish, that must be coincidence. And my argument is, well, there would be a difference whether it's a mosquito, a moth, or a fly. Flies come from the outside, but flies are attracted by food. So if you find three flies, you need to assume maybe there were more, because we could find some common nature to the number three. Mosquitoes aren't attracted to soup. They're attracted to our dismay. Some of us would wish they would be attracted to soup. They're attracted by us. They are attracted by living people. So if you find three mosquitoes in a dish, you throw them out, and there's no reason to see, to be choishes, maybe there were more, because there is no common nature to the number three. But so it doesn't really matter whether it's from within or from without, whether the food was infested or the flies were attracted to the soup. If there is room to assume that these three have something in common, then you have to be choishish for more. So that is the basic concept of Cheskes Gimel Pomim. So if there were three people that died in a hospital, that definitely doesn't mean that there probably are more. Chas v'sholom, we hope that number three is enough. Because unless we're dealing with an epidemic. If it's, you know, if it's an epidemic and there is infection, and then that is a different story. So, but I think the basic question has nothing to do neither with Dinei Teloim nor with Cheskes Chai. We are dealing with a concept of Rav and Miut. And if most of the time there is Tumas Meis in the hospital, that would be a problem for a Kohen to walk into that hospital. Everything we said up to this moment is based on Dinei Sfeikas. Either Sfek Sveike or Sveike Derabbanan. One Sufik would be, is there a mace in the hospital or not? The other Sufik would be, Hayim Alochike Divrei HaRavid or not? So that would be the room for Sfek Sveike. And the room for argument that we're dealing with the Sveike Derabbanan is based on the Shach. Either Shach number one, that Tuma moving from one room to the other through a Pesach Tefech is Midrabonon. Even the Achronim that reject that Svora, most of them agree that Soif Tuma, let's say, if the door is closed, would be a Derabonon. So the two arguments are Svek Sveike or Sveike Derabonon. But this is argument number three. Chazal were Mekel by Tumas Beis HaPras, and Tumas Meis Derabbanan B'Mokei Mitzvah. We find this in Bavli, and more so in Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi is extremely makel by Tumas Meis. In Bavli, we find this kula only by Tumas Derabbanan, by Tumas Beis HaPras. In Yerushalmi, even by Tumas Meis D'Oraisa, by Tumas Oil. And in Yerushalmi, we find that Chachamim were makel by Tumas Meis for Talmud Torah, for Kibud Av Ve'Eim, and many Achronim really are disturbed. If it's a Sveike D'Oraisa, how? It's not even a Sufik. If it's a D'Oraisa, Tumas Meis, how could we be lenient for Kibud Av or for Talmud Torah? Would that be Esed Doichaloisasa? Very unreasonable. First of all, Tumas Koyen is an Esa Veloises, Ein Esa Doicha Loises of Esa, and it's not Be'idne, so it definitely wouldn't be Esa Doicha Loises. Some achroinim say tumas koyanim is a lav she'enoi shove bakol, and therefore it is yoiser kal being a lav she'enoi shove bakol, and therefore chachomu were makel b'mokoyim mitzvah, which still would be a great chiddush. Most of the poskim don't paskin in accordance to the Yerushalmi, because in Bavli it seems to be clear that only by tomei derabbanan they were makel b'mokoyim mitzvah. But if we do assume that we're dealing with a tomei derabbanan, because even if there is a mace in the hospital, we could assume that most of the time the door is closed, and soif tumah lotzeis is only a derabbanan, and we also hope that from that room where the niftah might be till where I am visiting, we hope that some door is closed along the way. So soif tumah lotzeis is derabbanan, and b'mokoyim mitzvah yesh lahakol. And therefore, if a kohen feels he wants to visit his wife who had a baby, bikur cholim is a mitzvah. If his parents are in the hospital and he wants to go visit them, if he needs to accompany his wife when she is having a baby, and it's her yesuv v'daita that her husband should be with her when she's having the baby, if you're dealing with a mokoyim mitzvah, if it's kvoid rabbi or similar situations, I think if we do not know with certainty that there is a mace right now in the hospital, there definitely is room for leniency based on all the different svaras and different yesaidas that we presented today. So today we had a very clear halachic discussion, and this year sometimes is lambda, sometimes is aloche, kachi, darko, shal toira, and today we deal with a very common question which many koyanim are troubled about, living in Eretz Yisrael, and some circumstances it is very hard to avoid going into the hospital, especially when these people themselves need medical treatment and medical attention. So if it's even a remote question of pikuach nefesh, then it's not a shaila. Pikuach nefesh toche kol ha'toira kolo. But sometimes we're dealing with elective surgery or procedures that definitely are not dealing with life-threatening issues, and there isn't even a remote pikuach nefesh, but nevertheless, we still need medical attention, so it definitely is a mitzvah. Caring for your body, v'nishmartam o'da nefshasechem, is a mitzvah. And b'mukha mitzvah, yesh lohokal, b'tumah derabbanan, b'tumah koyanim, according to the Yerushalmi, even b'tumah d'oraisa, definitely b'tumah derabbanan, and a sofek tumah derabbanan b'mukha mitzvah, v'adai sheyesh mokem lohokal. So this week's parsha is Parshas Chukas, and Parshas Chukas deals first and foremost with Tumas Meis, and Tahara mit Tumas Meis, Poradume. And Poradume is the example of Chazal, the most evident and obvious example of Chukim Chukakti Gzeres Guzarti Ve'en Lechu Reshuz La'ara Rachadayim. As Rashi brings, Lefisha Sotnu Bo Mesuroi Lamoinim Es Yisrael, Ma Mitzvezu Ve'ma Tam Yeshbo, Lefisha Kore Yakosov Chuko, Chukim Chukakti Gzeres Guzarti Ve'en Lechu Reshuz La'ara Rachadayim. So many Sifrei Musar maintain that it is not only the Chukim, even the Mishpotim, in a way, Gzeres Guzarti Ve'enachu Reshus Lahara Rachareihem. So Rashi explains, our Torah is divided in two different spheres, two different concepts, Chukim and Mishpotim. The Mishpotim are the mitzvahs of Sichlius, mitzvahs that make sense, mitzvahs that even if the Torah wouldn't say them, we would assume many of them, even non-Jews, are mekayim many mitzvahs that are in our Torah. Maybe Kibud Av V'Em would be the most striking example. Every decent person would respect his father and mother. It is basic decency, basic civility, or geneva and gzeila. In every decent society, this is something which is unacceptable. So those are the mishpotim, the mitzvahs of sichlius. But many of the mitzvahs are not mitzvahs sichlius, but they are purely gzeiras akosev, macholas asurois, and definitely poradum. So these are the chukim. Chukim chukakti, gzeiras gazarti, ve'elakul reshus la'ara lachareyem. But Reb Chaim Evolution writes in Nefesh HaChaim, Tami HaMitzvahs Ad Tachlison Loines Galo L'Shum Oda Miyolim. And I think his emphasis is Ad Tachlitan. And the Goan writes to a Shivan Ponim L'Toyra, and in each and every one of the Shivan Ponim there are Tar Yag Sha'orim Rechovim and Iyam. And the Torah has no gvul, and low limit, and low boundaries. And even the mitzvah sichlios, the Mekabolim have different approaches and different reasonings and different explanations to each and every one of the mitzvahs. And in the days of the Rishonim, there was major controversy that Rambam headed one camp, the camp that said we should try to explain mitzvahs. And Chelek Gimel of the Moreh Nevuchim, in its entirety, is dedicated to Tam HaMitzvahs. Sefer HaChinuch followed in the footsteps of the Rambam, and in each and every one of the Tayag Mitzvahs, the Chinuch writes not only Dinei HaMitzvah, but also Shoresh or Shroshi HaMitzvah, which is essentially Tam HaMitzvahs. On the other hand, Tshuvas HaRashba was very adamant and very angry, and the Rashba writes, we do not have to deal with Tam HaMitzvahs. The Rashba quotes the Medrash, Chazal say, "Vechi ma'ich basloy laKodesh Baruch Hu ben shoychet menatzavar or shoychet menoyrav." Loi nitnu mitzvah selo letzarav ben esabrius. The Medrash saying, "Why would a Kodesh Baruch Hu mind whether we shech from the neck or from the back of the head? Why would it make a difference?" Loi nitnu mitzvah selo letzarav ben esabrius. So the Rambam actually quotes this Medrash, and the Rambam writes, "In Halacha we know that mara merchoda, and then." We need to decide who's right and who's wrong, who is nifsek l'alocha and who is rejected. The same by Agadata or by Midas Chassidus. The Rambam writes that locha is not in accordance to that opinion that says loy nitnu amitzus elo letzara ben esabiyas. However, there's an interesting expression in Moreh Nevuchim in Perek Lamed Beis and Chelek Gimel that Rambam writes, and I am not quoting the lashon of the Rambam because. As beautiful and precise the lashon of the Rambam is in Mishneh Torah, and the Rambam was an oman in expression, but the lashon of the Rambam, as all early Jewish philosophers and their philosophical works, is very heavy and unfriendly. So, but the Rambam writes, I'm quoting him in my Sprach, in Lashon Kodesh, the Rambam writes, That is more or less what the Rambam writes. But the Rambam heads the camp of those that are Deutish Tam Dekro. And I think the Rambam means to emphasize Protei HaMitzvahs. We could explain Klolei HaMitzvahs, but not Proteien V'Digdukeien. And each and every one of the Tayag Mitzvahs has so much detail. And that is what Halacha is about. You know, other dominations only have klolim. But in Yiddishkeit, Lehavdil Elef Alfei Havdolos, the details make all the difference. And each and every one of the mitzvahs has details. And when you eat matzah, you're going to eat with the greatest Messias Nefesh. But if you're missing 1 gram to a kezayis, it's futile. You did nothing. And you could have all the kavonos hari with your lulav, but if it's a hemnik, then you did nothing. And the Rambam says, there is no way to explain all the protei hamitzvahs, even though we could find reasonable explanations for klolei hamitzvahs, but not for protein. So the Balei Kabbalah have more explanations than protei hamitzvahs. But the basic rule is, Chukim chukakti, gzeres guzarti, and we need to be mekayim the mitzvahs. Lazus nachas ruach laKodesh Baruch Hu. Just a week ago, or was it 2 weeks? No, our last year was about Torah Lishma, and we dealt with various different interpretations of what Lishma means. But essentially, tamei mitzvahs have significance, but only to the degree, and to the extent that they give us more simchas a mitzvah, more slavas, and more dveikas in the mitzvahs. So, I do not recall whether it was a year ago or 2 years ago, I dedicated the Shia to Tamei HaMitzvahs and their significance in halachic ruling. I assume that we already discussed this topic here. But what I would like to say at the end of this year, and this is bearing upon us in these days. Today was a very sad day, and Friday was a very sad day, and once again, terror struck in the heart of Klal Yisrael, and a young girl was murdered in her bed at the end of the week, and a very, very chosh of a person was killed Friday, Erev Shabbos, at Talmud Chochem, and at Tzaddik, and left 10 Yisayimim and Yisayimis, an unbearable tragedy. And that is part of our saga. That is part of our story. And that has been with us for the past 2,000 years in Golas and in Eretz Yisrael. As if B'demaya Chayi, that is the Nevuah of Yechezkel HaNavi. So on this week's parsha, there's an interesting interpretation on the Yalkut Shemoni. And the Medrash goes through all the psukim in the beginning of the parsha. V'yikcho olecho poro aduma, poro Eli Yisrael, aduma Eli Yisrael, odmu etzem mepninim, tamimu Eli Yisrael, yoinosi tamosi. V'nosata moisel olozel hakoyen, ze Yirmiyahu, who was a koyen. Men akoyanim asher ba'anasois. Voyoitzi oitzal machitz lamachne zaremes du golas bottle. The expulsion of the Jews from Eretz Yisrael. Voyoitzi oitzal el machitz lamachne. Veshochat oitzal afonov b'nei tzidkiyahu. Shenishchato le'enav. That is the remes veshochat oitzal afonov. Vesorof esapora. That is the remes to Sreifis Beis HaMikdash. And ultimately, V'lokach Zenovach HaNetzar, Eitz Erez V'Eza V'Shnitalo Azech HaNanyel Mishol V'Azariya. And the Medrash explains all the details of this posuk, going through the story of Golas Yisrael. Chor Mabayis, the pain of Tzidkiyahu, the Mesiras Nefesh of Hananiah, Mishael Vazaria, and ultimately, V'osaf, Zeh Kodosh Baruch Hu, Ish Zeh Kodosh Baruch Hu, Shenemar, Hashem Yishmachomo, Tor Zeh Kodosh Baruch Hu, Shenemar, Tohere Naim, Yir Oizbero, Es Eifer Apora, Eile Gulu Yoseim, Shel Yisrael, El Mokem Tor, Zeh Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, in the Geula Shleim. So the Medrash explains this entire parsha from Sreifas Apora to Asifas Eifar. That is the story of our people, the story of Golas and Geula, of exile and redemption. And what I would like to add on to this Medrash, then on this pshat as well, Chazal say, Gzeres Gozarti, V'chukim chukakti v'ein lechu reshus laharer achareihem. We are the chosen people. We are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beloved ones. Not only his avodim, his bonim, his intimate family. So why do we suffer more than all the others? Moshe Rabbeinu asked the same question. And in Brochas of Zion, Chazal say that when Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did he want to understand? What was he pained by and troubled by? Moshe asked Tzadik Veraloi, Rosh HaVetoivloi. And to me it is clear that he didn't mean Ployni HaTzadik and Almoini HaRosh. Kodesh Baruch Hu bears upon Moshe Rabbeinu to be Goel Yisrael. Moshe turns to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If I am destined to be the leader of Klal Yisrael in such a difficult period, and I feel their pain and their suffering, I think I should understand what's behind all this. And when Moshe wants to understand Tzadik Veraloi, Rosh HaVetoivloi, Libi Yoimali, he is referring to the destiny and the story of Klal Yisrael. And there's a machlokes in the Gemara Rav Meir v'Rav Yosi, im nana Moshe l'tvilos b'tvilosai or lo nana, whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded, whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu shared with Moshe Rabbeinu the secret of tzadik v'raloi roshe v'toivloi. Machlokes tanoim, whether nana Moshe l'bakashosai. So if Moshe didn't understand, how could we understand? But this is our destiny. This is our story. And in our parasha, there is a remez to our saga. And when Chazal say, An pora aduma, chukim chukakti, kzeres gezarati, v'yenechu reshus lahara lacharei, and it also refers to the pshat that we find in Yalkut Shemoini. But we do have to feel the pain, and that is what is unique about Klal Yisrael. We are one family and one people, and we're all brothers and sisters, and when tragedy strikes, we all feel the pain. So we need to daven and do whatever we can to ease, to help Isha Se'er Yazari v'la'ochev Yoyim HaChazak. Shalo Yashom HaShoyed V'Sheva, Shakodesh Baruch Hu Yerachem, and we should know no more tragedy. Shekodesh Baruch Yishlach Lanu Moshiach Tzedkenu. Sheyitkeyem Banu. Va'osaf ish tohoy azeh HaKodesh Baruch Hu Asreifas HaPora Eile Goli Yisrael Shel Yisrael Al Mokoyim Tor Zeh Yerushalayim Yirakoydish Bebi Azgoyel Tzedek Bemheiro V'yomeinu Amen.